Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Information from Dalhousie University's Agri-Food Analytical Lab, following a national survey, shows very visceral responses to financial pressure Canadians are feeling related to inflation and interest rates. And food inflation is at its highest in 40 years. Sylvain Charlebois is the director of the Dalhousie University Agri-Foods Analytics Lab, professor at Dalhousie University, at Food Professor on Twitter. And he's back with us on the program. Sylvain, how are you?
Very good. Despite Fiona, we're doing good in the Atlantic.
Of course, you're in Nova Scotia. And how's your area? You're in Halifax. How's Halifax?
Well, it's been tough to know exactly what's going on around us because we've been focused mainly on ourselves and the kids. But I think winds were much stronger than with Dorian in 2019. We lost a tree. Our back patio flew off, part of it, anyways. And driving around the neighborhood, we saw really many trees. Go down, some wires all over the place. Yeah, it's there's a lot of cleaning up to do, but I'm sure that NS Power and our government authorities are up to the task.
Cape Breton's regional municipality, Sydney and Glace Bay and so on, and they've declared a seven-day state of emergency. It's been terrible, and in Portobasque in Newfoundland, we've had houses with people in them, or at least one house, with a woman in it being swept into the ocean. That thing was just vicious, wasn't it, that storm?
It was 1,500 kilometers wide.
Yeah.
If we were hit hard, and I can't imagine our colleagues over in Cape Breton and in PEI as well, the Madeleines were hard hit. Mm-hmm. So we were lucky. So I can't imagine what they're going through right now.
All right, on to the food side of things. Do you have $218 breakfasts?
I was listening to you, Roy, and I'm trying to figure out a way. How do you spend $218 on breakfast? You got to work really hard at it.
That's dinner for four.
Do you have a menu that went with the $218?
That's dinner for four in a nice restaurant.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, I hope they enjoyed it.
I hope so, too.
Not sure taxpayers did, but hopefully some did enjoy it.
So the MPs want information and they want details, and good, because we deserve that. But here we are. Yeah. You've done the analysis. Food inflation is skyrocketing, and 24% of people in this country are buying less food, not just cutting back on what they buy, but buying less food because of cost, and 70% of that 24% of women. Please talk to us about that.
Yeah, so it's 24% less volume, and for not just dollars, but less volume. So clearly, a lot of Canadians are making dietary compromises along the way to deal with higher food prices. That's a number we didn't expect. And Roy, of that 24%, almost 70% are women. Can you imagine? So there's a lot of desperation out there, and almost 8% of Canadians are actually literally skipping meals because of higher food prices. So on the one hand, three-quarters of Canadians are coping with inflation the best they can. They're using points, they're using coupons, they're going to different locations to buy food, they're visiting dollar stores, they're doing everything they can. And I think the media has done a very good job informing the public in terms of the options that people have, but there is, I would say, 25% of the population that are absolutely struggling with what's going on. And by the way, Roy, the food inflation rate has exceeded the general inflation rate in Canada for 13 months in a row now. So that's why everyone's spooked at the grocery store. Everything is going up, but it's exponential at the grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that on your Twitter account, at Food Professor, that 13 straight months the rate of inflation for food has exceeded the general rate of inflation. But when you see things like, and you reported this, 8.2% of Canadians say they had to change their diet to save on food, and 7.1% skipped meals because of the cost of groceries. So you wonder how many kids are going without food because of the cost of groceries. And that's really disturbing. That's heartbreaking.
It is, as soon as, I have children, and of course, as soon as you know children are impacted by what's going on, you have to wonder what else can we do. And frankly, I do think there are things that industry can do. You see, over in Europe, so we have a high food inflation rate, but we're number three within the G7 after Japan and France. Germany, 16.6. United States 13.5, so it's actually worse in other countries of the G7. But what we've seen from grocers, and I think it's a novel idea, some grocers, not all, are voluntarily freezing the price for some food staples. Not all of them, just about 100. You give a break to consumers only for a while, for 2-3 months. Carrefour did it, Leclerc done it as well. Vice in Germany as well. There's over a dozen grocers over the last year or so that have done that temporarily just to help out, just to show that they have a heart. They want to help out consumers because they know that a lot of people are struggling. I think, Roy, to be honest, I'm not talking about regulating prices. I'm just talking about a nice PR move for grocers because, as you know, a lot of them are criticized gouging consumers. And I think it's high time for them to think about a strategy to, yes, look better, but also, most importantly, to help Canadians.
Yeah, I saw a story about a CEO of one of the major food chains in this country speaking, I think, to investors. It was a meeting of some kind. And he was upset and challenging people who were saying, look, the grocery system, the grocery stores, the grocery chains are making, are just profiting on the backs of people who are struggling. He got upset. I called. I got in touch with him, actually, and asked them for an interview. They declined. But fair enough. I mean, people do decline. But it is what it is. So do you have any sense that Canadian grocers will follow the lead of the Euro grocers and freeze the staples, food prices on staples?
I'm not sure. I hope they will. And the person I know that the company actually was quite vocal. And frankly, most of these accusations are baseless because we actually did look at the financial statements of Loblaws and Sobeys and Metro, and there's no evidence of greenflation at all. The challenge, of course, is that 80% of Canadians actually do believe that there's greenflation going on in the grocery business. And so if I were the CEO of a chain, I'd be concerned about that.
Yes, I would be too.
You would want to kind of revisit the social contract you have with your patrons and show some level of empathy, because food inflation rate is a huge issue. It's been going on for a while. Compared to the 1980s, this scenario that we're going through right now is very, very different. Food inflation is lingering, and it's going to linger for a very long time.
Fiona's impact on Halifax. It's hard to take your mind off it, eh, Sylvain? You just see the images, and you know that people are struggling and suffering, and houses and homes have been swept into the ocean. It's hard to think about anything else.
Oh, absolutely. And I've received a couple of calls from media asking me how the province is handling this. To be honest, I have no idea. We're just focused on survival here and, hot coffee and eating. And so, yeah, but I'm pretty convinced that, this is not our first hurricane. It won't be our last. And so I'm pretty confident that authorities are taking care of its citizens. The focus has to be on Cape Breton because I know that, that a lot of communities are devastated by what has happened the last couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be speaking with them later on. And Atlantic Canadians have this tremendous sense of community, though. You've pulled together. You've had so many challenges that you've had to face over the years, fishing industry problems and, you know, just the economy being difficult. So Atlantic Canadians have a great sense of community. Years ago, I was at a gas station near Chester, and he filled up my car and was talking to the guy, and he said to me, we're talking about 5 minutes. He said, so you're from Ontario? Yeah. Whereabouts? Well, sort of Hamilton, Toronto area. So tell me, he said, if you were back home, would you still be talking to me after filling up my car? And I said, not a chance, pal. I would have been gone the second the pump clicked. But it's a different lifestyle.
Ontario, very nice, but I got to say, I mean, when we moved here 6 years ago, You're a bit surprised when you go to, say, a coffee shop and a total stranger will call you love.
Yeah.
Have a nice day, love.
What?
That's how people are here. It's just an incredible place. So
yeah.
People will help each other. I mean, in our own neighborhood, some people actually have generators, others don't. And so we help each other out. We share, you know, hot cocoa, hot coffee. We share showers. I mean, that's the way it is here, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Atlantic Canadians are wonderful, wonderful people and have a tremendous sense of community. Okay, back to the issue of food and inflation and what it's costing us across the country and what it's doing. Now, you tweeted as well about what's going to happen if our dollar continues to decline and if we go into recession, what happens with food prices?
This is probably the number one concern that our team has right now. The dollar is falling at the worst time, probably, because we're slowly marching towards the winter season, and we do import a lot of food during the winter. And as you know, Roy, right now, it's with interest rates, it's the race to the top. Everyone's defending their currency. The Americans have an easier time to do that because they're the money of reference. I mean, if people... Investors are looking for refuge. That's where they'll go. They'll buy American dollars. So we're up against that. And most currencies are actually dropping, including ours, but ours is pretty critical for food security over the next little while. So if you remember a few years ago, the cauliflower head was at $8 or $9 all of a sudden. That's due to a significant depreciation of our dollar versus the greenback in just a matter of weeks. I'm just hoping that the dollar will hold on over the last, I'd say, probably 3 years. The currency has not been a big issue, but the dollar has actually lost 6 or 7% of its value over the last 6 or 7 months. And so that descent can continue, and that could actually spell a problem for produce, for example, the center of the store. We could see actually a lot of products become more expensive in weeks to come.
Yeah. So those numbers, 8.2% of Canadians having to change their diet to save money on food and 7.1% skipping meals because of the cost of groceries, those numbers would escalate significantly. Now, you're going to be speaking to a parliamentary committee in the next couple of days. We have about a minute here. What are you going to tell them?
Well, I'm first of all, we'll be talking about food resiliency and how do we actually build a more autonomous food system in Canada. Secondly, obviously, I think MPs will want to talk about inflation. We're about to start working on our forecast for 2023, so I'm probably going to give them a sense of what we're seeing right now on our radar. And finally, we'll talk about supply chains. I think that's a big issue right now. It's still ongoing. We saw that a few years ago. It's still an issue right now. And so we'll talk more about supply chain resiliency with the group. We're looking forward to it. I've actually testified before that group, I think, 3 times already. So this will be my 4th visit. It's always a great conversation.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi. Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.